Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for the ASHP Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. This series focuses on leadership topics within pharmacy practice, including the business of pharmacy, development of leadership skills, career transitions, and more. My name is Melanie Smith, and I'm the director of the ASHP section of ambulatory care practitioners, and I will be your host. In today's episode, we are sitting down with the 2023 Section of Ambulatory Care Practitioners Distinguished Service Award winner, Megan Dorrell, to discuss her service within the section and the role ASHP has played in her development as a pharmacy practice leader. So welcome, Megan.
Thanks, Melanie.
Yay, this is going to be fun. So for our listeners, the Section Distinguished Service Award recognizes one ASHP section member each year whose volunteer activities have supported the mission of their section and or forum, as well as help advance the profession of pharmacy. Their activities over the last 3 years have demonstrated a contribution to the improvement of pharmacy practice that aligns with the individual section's mission and vision. So with that, Megan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with ASHP?
Sure. Thanks, Melanie. I'm currently the Vice President of Clinical Strategy at Innovative Rx Strategies. We're a pharmacy benefit consulting firm supporting employers, including health systems and their pharmacy benefits. Before that, I spent 10 years at Community Health Network in Indianapolis, with the last six of those as Director of Ambulatory Care Pharmacy, focused on expanding primary care, establishing specialty care, and establishing our population health initiatives. As far as my engagement with ASHP, I was a member as a student and a resident, and I'm pretty sure I sat on some residency committees back then, but it's a little blurry. After I got my career started in ambulatory care, I found the resources super helpful from ASHP, so I re-engaged. And after that, I was able to get an appointment to the Compensation and Practice Sustainability SAG, and I was kind of hooked. So I'm sure you can't play favorites, but that's a pretty good group of SAG members to be with. So once I found that group, I was kind of hooked for life.
You are hooked for life. You are hooked for life. And CPS SAG is a very dedicated group of people.
Yeah.
So Megan, can you comment, and you kind of alluded to this already, but can you comment on what involvement at ASHP has meant to you professionally as well as personally? And what's your favorite part about being a member?
Yeah, I think the wonderful people I've met through the CPS SAG have definitely been a big part of it all. I think coming out of recently being at an ASHP mid-year, getting to connect with everyone again in person, run into them, meet them for coffee, just kind of have those connections. It's been really important to my career. I learned about networking as a student, but didn't really get it until I was part of this group. So, you know, we face a lot of the same problems. We bounce ideas off each other. We work on roadblocks together. And so to have 25 other people that are really smart and talented in this space that kind of always have your back has been really helpful. It's also professionally fulfilling to figure something out and then help someone else figure it out too. So when you finally have a breakthrough, being able to then help the next person, we've got a really good chain of that going on within the ambulatory care SAG. So as far as how the ASHP SAG has kind of helped me, I, you know, have never really had a position where scholarship and scholarly activities has been part of my job. And so it was never anything that I started on or focusing on, but through my involvement in ASHP and on the section advisory group, I've had the door open to national presentations and webinars, certificate programs, book chapters, and just a lot of other great professional opportunities over the years. And so that level of scholarly activity wasn't something I really saw myself doing, but because of ASHP and the opportunities that the SAG allowed me to have, I have all those great activities that I've been able to do over the last 5 to 10 years with ASHP.
Yeah, and I think just knowing and having worked with you personally, you are the type of person that when the opportunity presents itself, you don't shy away from it. You actually go for it. Mm-hmm. You ask the questions, you encourage the discussion. So I think that's really beneficial for someone that may be listening that's trying to figure out like how to get more involved. Just when the opportunity presents itself, you go in and you take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's also those around me on the SAG really encourage that and support that too, right? And so
right.
People are willing for you to jump in and work on them with them on something or bring an idea your way. So it just kind of fosters that professional relationship with others. So it's been really helpful.
Absolutely. So working within the section and ASHP, what projects or initiatives have you worked on that you are the most proud of?
Probably the presentations at mid-year. Shout out to Jeff Olson, Ashley Parrott, Danny Truelove, Jamie Cavanaugh, and Jennifer Ryder for either asking me to present with them or coming along when I had a crazy idea. No matter how much experience those of us that have been doing MCARE for a while have, there's always a site or a pharmacist that is just getting started. So being able to kind of share the background, share ideas that have worked at our sites with a larger audience at mid-year has really been very professionally fulfilling, because people have come out up afterwards, sent emails afterwards and just said like, hey, I hadn't thought of it that way before, or I brought this idea back to my leadership based on what we talked about at the conference. And so being able to kind of use our experiences to share them with people who are just getting started has been great.
Yeah, and I think that's really telling for ambulatory care practitioners in general. We always like to share. That's how we learn, and we don't always have to come to the table knowing everything. So very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I said, I mean, it's crazy to think about the fact that when I started in AmCare about 15 years ago, the number of AmCare pharmacists were minimal. Like most hospitals or sites had one or two, and most of them were part-time because they came from colleges of pharmacy. And so now here we are 15 years later, and we have got systems across the country that have two, three, four dozen pharmacists in ambulatory care. But we still have sometimes in the same city, the same state, systems that haven't gotten started yet.
Right.
So there's just a lot of variety in AmCare and so much work to be done, even though we've come so far.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. So shifting gears a little bit, we've all had those moments in life or along our journey that have helped define us and shape the impact we want to have on the profession of pharmacy and as leaders. So can you describe one of your aha moments, and was it something that was expected, and how did you respond?
You know, I've had little ones along the way, but a bigger, more recent one I had has to do with the fact that I did switch jobs recently. It's always scary to change jobs, especially when you get to the point where you're kind of good at something and people are asking you to come speak at things and you feel like you have a good handle on everything. To jump and switch jobs is sometimes scary. But I've always been interested in the growth and sustainability of pharmacy departments and ambulatory care practices. And, you know, I've always said it's a puzzle. You got to put the puzzle pieces together. And unfortunately, as far as we've come, we're still a long way away from having, you know, direct billing really, you know, completely cover all our positions. So we still are working on this puzzle. And so as part of my previous job, I supported our health network self-funded employees. And I was part of the team that saved millions of dollars a year on our pharmacy benefits. And so that was the moment that I realized that we as pharmacists could be doing even more within our four walls to save money. And if you can save money on the benefits you're offering to the people who you work for and work with, that's money that you can kind of use to justify some AmCare positions. And so I got kind of excited about that and decided to try a different piece of the puzzle. And so this isn't the type of work that I could just like hit the ground running, but I've learned all I could. I've worked with some really great people in the field, and now I'm super excited to work with people trying to build AmCare practices and give them another tool in their toolkit to justify positions. So,
awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Another opportunity that you get to be a part of, and it's innovative. So very cool.
Right. Yeah. No, I hope in 5 to 10 years, there's a lot of people working in this space to kind of do the same thing. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And not just in AmCare, all over pharmacy. I think that would be very
all over pharmacy. I have a heart for AmCare. So I secretly hope that the hospitals that I'm working with use the money to bring in new pharmacists in AmCare.
Right, right, right.
But if they bring in new pharmacists for critical care, that's fine with me too.
That's fine. Okay. Last question. So what recommendations do you have for listeners who want to get more involved at the national level? I know you mentioned that not everybody is as well-versed, you know, or as far along in their practice or their experience, but like, what advice would you give someone that really wants to take it to the next step?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this a little bit since we started talking about the podcast, and I think I have three main points that I'd like to share with listeners. The first is to keep applying. I don't want people to get discouraged if they try to apply for a SAG in AmCare or other areas, and they don't make it the first year. There are so many people, I don't know how many members in the SAG, but I'm sure there's far more people in the SAG than there are spots. And so it may take a couple of years to apply. I've worked with former residents who I had apply that didn't get it on the first or second a try, but keep applying. Don't be discouraged if you don't make it that first time. So keep going. The second thing is, once you are selected for a committee or a work group like this, make it a priority. Make sure your leadership knows, and especially in AmCare, you're able to block your schedule to prioritize the meetings. So often I find people who get in, get involved, and then have to miss half the meetings because they had a patient scheduled. Like, make it a priority. Make sure your boss has your backing. Get that scheduled and taken care of. And then also, once you're there, speak up, talk all the time. Make sure people hear your voices, because that's the best way to meet people, get involved. But I also think probably the best way to get reinvited back to continue to do this work is to show up and be actively engaged. And so if you don't have an answer, then ask a question, right? If you don't know how everything works, chime in with what you know. There's so many ways to get involved, even if you don't feel like you're the expert yet. And then my third one, I've been given this piece of advice to people for about 2-3 years now, and I had it work for so many people this year. But when you're looking to present at a national conference, look at those management case studies. Those management case studies are a great way to break in. When you go to a conference and people are doing like those 90-minute main sessions, those are ones where they're looking for people potentially, I think, that are at different sites and across different states, things like that. So they're not looking for you to present with two of your coworkers in those long meeting presentations. But the management case studies, you can really just focus on one area of your practice and do it with a coworker. And the timeline's great too. They're due later than the regular ones. So if you're looking for a way to get involved, to do a presentation, really reflect back on what you might be able to bring to the table as far as a management case study, and try your hand there first. Get yourself your feet wet, get involved, get engaged. And it's a great way to start presenting at conferences.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You are speaking my language. I love making the SAG meetings. They just meet once a month, a priority, mm-hmm. block off your calendar, and then let your bosses know, let your supervisors know that you're involved.
They want you to do this, I'm sure.
Exactly. Because it makes you look good. It makes them look good. So let them know. And 9 times out of 10, you have someone that's supportive. And then also management case studies. I preach that mm-hmm. all the time. You know, they're 30-minute presentations. That's the one you can do with your coworker. And then that gets your name out there for consideration for future presentations. So
you know,
that.
And this past mid-year too, I mean, some of them had standing room only. They were so popular. So it's, you know, it's a really great way just to get started. So you don't have to start with a 90-minute presentation and this giant, you know, 12 hours of prep time to submit your application. Just look at what you're doing and just throw it out there. And you know what? If it doesn't get accepted this year, try it again next year, or pick a new topic next year. Just keep some in those. So
yeah. So take that residency project, submit it for a case study.
Exactly.
And go from there. Awesome.
I've done that with two residents. So, and they both have presented.
Yeah,
so
same. Anybody that, not anybody, I don't want to jinx it, but like most people that I send the management case study route, it usually works for them. So
I will say it's worked for me too, but maybe now it's becoming more popular. So if we talk about it too much, it may be harder.
The word will get out.
At the same time, I think I'm like 5 for 5 on getting people that submit management case studies and having them actually present. So
awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the high note we want to leave it on. So thank you, Megan.
Sure.
Thank you, Megan, for joining in for today's episode of Pharmacy Leadership and sharing your experiences as a member of ASHP and specifically within ambulatory care. And for the listeners, if you would like to recommend someone for the Distinguished Service Award, you can nominate a member each year from mid-February to May 1st by visiting ashp.org/about/ASHP/awards. You can also find more member-exclusive content, including resources for self-development, leading pharmacy enterprises, and teams and practice management on the ASHP website. Thank you for joining us. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the ASHP Official podcast.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.